Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 2:48 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is April 25th. I thought we'd kick off today with China. The CSI 300 was down 4%. It's another leg lower in this emerging downtrend, which has been underway now for a year. And it's on the back of the realization among investors that the Communist Party rules China. And they're going to put politics in front of every other possible priority until at least they have Xi Jinping established for his third consecutive term of office. And it may not be confirmed until well into September, possibly even November, which suggests that lockdowns in China are going to be prolonged. And on top of that, the coronavirus is spreading. And it's looking increasingly likely that Beijing is going to be locked down. So that's going to be problematic. And when you lock down two of the biggest economic centers in any country, you're going to have a knock-on effect. But when you think about how centralized power is in China and locking down the administrative capital, that is both going to accelerate the pace with which they're going to move the center of operations outside Beijing and into Xi Jinping's new administrative city, but it is also going to have a knock-on effect on growth and consumption. And then it's also going to introduce the rather privileged middle class of Shanghai and Beijing to the strictures of having to endure some of the worst abuses of individual liberty that China has. Whatever one's opinion is about quarantine, the manner in which they're being imposed is rather violent. And this is obviously having an impact on both consumption and the ability of the economy to fulfill consumption. So China isn't in, doesn't seem to be in a great hurry to try and ebb the flow of capital out of the country. And the renminbi was weaker today. Now, it was not all the way on the low of the day, but this is another big upper dynamic for the dollar. So there's nothing on the chart to say that this is over. Now, it has unwound the overbought condition relative to the 1,000-day moving average, and we might see some pause here. But China needs a weaker currency in order to deal with the weakness in the economy and to try and continue to spur the competitiveness of exports, particularly in view of the fact that Japan has been actively devaluing the yen, or at the very minimum doing absolutely nothing to arrest its decline. So it's been pausing around the 130 area, but this is still looking like a trend, and we can anticipate the yen will continue to weaken. Now, we've had a weak environment in stock markets generally, so the Nikkei is weaker today by about 500 points. It's encountering resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average. So it's been a very volatile range over the course of the last 18 months. And it's so far holding the 25,000 level, which is the upper side of the underlying range. And as long as it's doing that, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to ranging upside. But it's certainly not shooting the lights out. Then when we think about the second section index, which is so often a lead indicator for Japan, well, it peaked in the middle of, or towards the end, excuse me, towards the end of the third quarter in 2021. And it's been ranging really since 2018, so not leading on the upside. And also encountering resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average and bouncing from the 1,000-day moving average. So it's a bit touch and go for some of these indices. Now, Indonesia in here today announced that, it was on Friday, that they're going to ban palm oil exports. And the stock market's performance has been rather notable in that it has been rallying despite the fact that we've had a rather corrective phase unwinding in most of the developed world. And then the Indonesian rupiah devalued rather abruptly in here today. So that did help to support the nominal appreciation of the stock market. And this is on the back of some of these protectionist measures. So there's the potential here that regional currencies are going to follow the Chinese renminbi's lead lower, because nobody wants to have a currency stronger than the renminbi, because all of these countries rely on exporting into China, so they need their exports to be competitive. So as the renminbi devalues, it's going to take many of the rest of the regional currencies with it. And the Asia dollar index has taken a really significant leg lower. So clearly breaking down and through that 1,000-day moving average. And until really just the last 2 weeks, it was looking like it could bounce from this area, and hopes of that have been completely dashed. So this is now bringing back into focus the fact that we have a succession of lower rally highs for 11 years, and it has not been broken. So therefore, this is still a medium-term downtrend, and we should continue to expect volatility. Then we should also consider that if China's is going to have to lock down other major economic centers within the country, and Beijing is about to experience the same kind of quarantine that Shanghai is undergoing, then that's going to start cutting back on demand for commodities. So commodity-related currencies were also weaker in here today. So the Australian dollar is coming back down below its trend means and testing the 70-cent level. The New Zealand dollar, and of course it's got even more trade for agricultural products with China, has also pulled back and is in the region of the lows from early this year. The Brazilian real bucked the trend somewhat in here today. It weakened on Friday, and then it weakened initially in here, but it has rebounded. So it has not broken back below the five level. And I think investors are holding their breath, because when we look at some of these commodities, they're at potential areas of support. So copper is now right in the region of the 200-day moving average and that $4.50 level on the COMEX contract. Gold is testing the $1,900 area, and it has bounced from this level on previous occasions, and it's just about coinciding with the region of the 200-day moving average and the lower side of the underlying trading range. And we have a similar condition for Brent crude, which is testing but not breaking below the $100 level and then rebounded in here today. So we have competing arguments. The first is that China's economy is slowing. That is going to have a knock-on effect for commodity pricing, and therefore inflationary pressures should moderate. And if inflationary pressures moderate, well, then that will blunt the threat of rising interest rates. And if interest rates aren't going to rise as quickly as initially anticipated, well, then demand for commodities won't collapse in quite the same manner as initially feared. So we've got push and pull factors, but the reality is that some of these commodities are in the region of potential areas of support and showing just very initial signs of steadying. So it might be a little early yet to panic, and I think that's why we're seeing some of these indices coming off their lows. So when we think about Europe, well, it does a lot more trade with China than the USA does. So the Euro stocks was down in here today. If we look at the World Equities Index, our indices page, most indices were down in the region of 1 to 2%. but we're starting to see a rebound on Wall Street. So the S&P 500, having been down over a percent in early trading, has bounced from the region of the March lows. So again, this is just initial evidence of support coming through in the region of a previous area of support. And we've seen this in multiple assets today. Now, just because we have short-term oversold conditions does not mean that this is the beginning of a new significant rebound. I think we can still anticipate that the Federal Reserve is going to raise rates next week and that they are probably going to do so by 50 basis points. And considering the fact that the S&P is only about 600 points, it's not even that, it's 500 points off its January peak, then the Federal Reserve as well, I think, is going to take plenty of heart from the fact that stock market hasn't really reacted all that much from the threat of rising interest rates, and that investors would probably like to see inflation coming back down. So it is likely they're going to raise rates. Eventually, that is going to have a knock-on effect because they're all also going to reduce the size of the balance sheet. And every time they do that, it creates deflationary forces. So we're going to have a growth scare, and it's going to start to, or what's needed to create a growth scare is happening now. It will be felt at some point in the economy within the next 6 months, and then it's likely that we'll start to see slowing growth and much tighter liquidity conditions as we head into 2023. But if China has to lock down more of the country, and China's demand for everything starts to come back down, and we see commodity prices coming under pressure, then the prospect of rising interest rates is going to recede into the background rather quickly. So there is the possibility then that these lows hold, and that we move into another upleg. Because the only reason that stock markets have sold off is because of fears of rising interest rates. And lots of interest rates have already been priced in. So when we then think about the bond market, well, the 10-year yield has contracted, but it's off its lows. Obviously, we still have some inflationary pressures. What we're definitely seeing in the global economy at present is a rolling wave of inflationary pressures. They spike in one area, subside in another, and then switch places. So we're starting to see some of the pressure coming off of the industrial resources. So the LME Metals Index was in negative territory on Friday, and we're definitely seeing that some of the individual industrial resources are coming back down. But that has to then be, I think, compared with the continued upward pressure that we're seeing on agricultural commodities. So palm oil was up and down on Friday and then up again in here today. Soybeans is right in the region of its peaks from back in 2007. And that is equally true for corn. And these are major commodities. So we're continuing to see upward pressure put on key components of the global agriculture sector. There's obviously the threat from Indonesia's desire to try and quell domestic inflation by banning exports of palm oil. There's going to have to be substitution. So that's going to create demand for other oils like soybean oil, peanut oil. That, of course, will create demand for both soy and corn. And because ethanol from corn is a major component in the production of gasoline, then if we start to see more economic activity, more gasoline demand, and then greater proportions of corn in gasoline, then that's going to contribute to upward pressure as well. And gasoline prices were well off their lows in here today and continuing to hold in this range, which is in the region of the peaks from back in 2013 and 14. And so I think this is a rather important development. So when we think then about these sorts of, I think, conditions, we're in an environment where there is a lot going on. And I think what we're definitely seeing here is a change in the vanguard for what's creating inflation. We've seen a big move in industrial resources. That's likely to have, I think, a knock-on effect for the wider market. But now we're starting to see agricultural commodities starting to pick up pace. When we think about some of these agricultural commodities and then how they're produced, well, some of the plantation companies are starting to gain attention. Anglo Eastern Plantations is firming from the region of its peaks. We had a very big pullback in fertilizer companies last week, but we're still seeing upward pressure on the commodities, so there's the potential that they're going to start steadying from here. One thing, of course, is that cannabis is becoming an increasingly important cash crop, and these shares continue to go down. They're being priced more in line with the innovation sector, but it's also because they've been spending a ton of money to try and gain market share. Some of those companies are going to go bust, but those that are left over are going to have a growing market. And I think this is certainly turning into an interesting environment because the IPO index, which is managed, well, it's an actively managed fund. It was a little steadier in here today, but still a downtrend overall. There's a lot riding on this question of whether we're going to see interest rates rise by as much as the bond market is priced in or not. I remain very much of the view that we are not going to see as many interest rate hikes as the bond market's anticipating. But how much global deflation do we need to see before central banks actually change and relent from raising interest rates? The Federal Reserve has already painted itself into raising rates next week. So we'll have to see then how much they raise by and what their guidance is. They've also decided that they are going to persist with reducing the size of their balance sheet, which is quantitative tightening. So I think we're still in a choppy environment, but we are oversold, so there's the potential for a rebound here in risk assets, even as we remain within a medium-term corrective phase. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.